We warmly welcome Ed as our speaker for this Monday night Crew Miracles meeting on May 25th. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And Ed, I'll pass it over to you.
Thank you so much. Please join me in a prayer. I always just say, God, give me the words today that might make a difference in someone's recovery today. Amen. I like to do that because it reminds me I'm here for you. I'm here to be of service tonight. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept alcoholism, I'm going to substitute food addiction, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much at what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaws in everyone, every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point it out because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did. AA and acceptance. Have OA, I will say, and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, and that we are all children of God and we all have a right to be here. When I complain about me or you, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God. That's on page 417 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, often called the Big Book. And it's something that I listen to just about every day. It's one of the ways I start my day. Why is that important to me? Because I believed I was not good enough. I was born in 1968, and I was in the product of one of those very mixed families of the 70s with step parents and all that is a complicated thing. But basically, I'm like an only. But the funny thing is, I actually wound up by my biological parents being an only child with all these more siblings that I know what to do with now. And most of all of them have passed now, and it's me and my brothers and their children. So that's kind of who's around in my family. I started out thin, and there's photographs showing that I was of a normal weight. And I don't ever remember being that way. From the very earliest memory, I was already big. I was already at 5 years old. I was going in kindergarten, and something was wrong with me. I thought I wasn't enough. Something is just, I must be a defective kid or something. Because why are parents separating? Why are they fighting? What's going on? Why are people yelling? Why are people getting hurt? Why is there trauma in the household? And then, so I get there. And all the kids are having a thing, and I'm not allowed to have the little treats that the other kids have because I was already big. And my mom was doing her best. And so she took me, with these little like juice type of things for kids, and there was no sugar in them. And I said, how can these little trees have these little fruits? It was the brand that has the little fruits, and they had happy smiles on each fruit, had a happy smile on it. And I said, I don't see how they're happy at all. Because this stuff is sour. And all I wanted was to be just like the other kids. Why was I different? Why couldn't I be like everybody else? I was already, it's like there was something wrong with me, something very, very wrong with me. And as things went, there was different parts of family. At one point, my father said that it was my mother's fault because of my weight. And if it wasn't this, then you would not need any diet food when you come to my house and blah, 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 as he was literally pouring the sugary syrup on breakfast food. So, there was all kinds of stuff. There was times when my mom would have secret little things when she remarried and had a stepdad, and there was abuse there as well. And there was, let's go in secret. Let's go to the store. We'll get something we won't tell dad. So there was some definite stuff around food, like we always have to have a little treat. So when I was at the very worst in my behavior, I could, as a full adult, I could go and have a wonderful, lovely, healthy dinner that someone made out with their own hands in their home, and I would still go through because I had to have separate treats to prepare me for it, and I had to go to another drive-through on the way home. I'll give you a clue what my abstinence might be. It might have something to do with drive-throughs. You might get a hint there as to what it is personally for me. So let me give some stats. My very highest, and I'll show you a picture. Tell me if you can see this. I don't know if you could see. That was me at age 27. I was 525 pounds. I was in a lot of pain. This was right before I had duodenal switch surgery in 1997. I was 27 years old. What did I had tried before then? I tried eating soap because I was so depressed as a kid. I saw a commercial that the soap made the grease go away, so I thought, I'll just eat soap. I was that depressed. I was that upset. I remember eating candy bars, you know, that some kid had left a half-eaten thing, and I would eat it off the floor, so off the ground. You know, I tried one time just stopping eating for a week. I just said, I'm not going to eat. And I had sodas. Guess, and I'll give you another question, what you think my abstinence might be in terms of sugar, right? That's another clue. I'd gone to doctors with different things and trying to monitor and see if my health was okay and the thyroid and all this stuff and pre-diabetic and all this stuff. And boy, life was sure unmanageable. And, you know, all these things have lots and lots of huge stories behind them. So I'm just touching on them because I don't want to focus on the problem. But just to let you know, I had lost after 525 pounds at age 27, by age 29, I lost down to 239 pounds. I barely got there and stayed there for a very short time. And I was exercising so crazy more than 7 days a week. I would sometimes do two, three workouts in a day. And I had lost down to 29, at age 29, no, to 239 pounds. It was the closest I've had to being like a normal weight as an adult. And then I went in the pool and I was so exhausted that my arms turned into jelly. I couldn't move anymore. And the doctors didn't know what was going on. At one point, I was leaching vitamin D out of my body because of surgery. And this is kind of what started me gaining weight again. And they thought, oh, you're bipolar. Let's put you on all these medicines. Well, I've proven them that I'm not bipolar because I've taken an antidepressant that if someone is bipolar and takes it, it would by itself, it would have definitely caused a bipolar episode. So that wasn't the truth. Went to an endocrinologist and said, it's because you're leaching the vitamin D out of your bones. They gave me a synthetic vitamin D supplement, and then that was solved. But in the meantime, I had started eating during all those medicines and all that craziness, and I gained 20 pounds in 1 month. This was not healthy for my body. For the last 15 years up until 2024, I stayed at 420 pounds, and I stayed exactly at that weight. And my doctor had said, do you want to try like any of these, like the weight loss management? I have times when my iron is really super low, which I'm going through that again right now. Sometimes I have to do lots of blood tests. And right now I'm bringing my iron back up. But it would stay, and I was not willing. I'd even gone to Overeaters Anonymous back 30 years ago in the early, like around 1987 to around like 90. And I even started a couple of meetings when I was at college. Went to college for music. I was so overweight, no one would hire me. I was not hireable. I was a walking mess. If you can imagine someone who's just coming out of the closet, that was a huge traumatic thing for a religious kid. You know, coming out, that was very traumatic. That was a hard thing. But I got to reclaim that. But I used my food like most people use drugs. I used it to dissociate. I used it to not be here. I used it to numb my feelings. And when I finally got abstinent in Overeaters Anonymous, I had to feel my feelings. I had no choice. It was either that or go back and eat the food and die again. So, what kinds of things were healing? I found getting in touch with my inner child has been very important to me, and recently I incorporated the inner teen. I daily rely on God. There's a word called frog. If you can imagine a frog, is fully relying on God. I do use therapy. I do use some, thank you for that. I do use some of the medicines today just because I need help getting started. And I've had such a success that right now, as of today, I'm down around to 296. I'm under 300 pounds. There's quite a few people that have spoken here that their worst fear is getting up to 300 pounds. I'm grateful to be down to 300 pounds and under and keep losing. So as of today's date, as of May 25th, 2026, I'm 1.07 years, 12.92 months, 392 days, 9,428 hours abstinent, free of no sugar, no drive-throughs, no chemical foods. And because dental stuff was so much a part of my problem, I had so many teeth problems. I've spent thousands of dollars because that sugar, that was a cost to me. I was so upset. I even wound up breaking the law and had legal problems as well. I wanted to just get something. I wanted to grab something. There was this dark hole in me. Like if you study what a black hole is, it's the gravitational pull is so strong it can bend a light ray. And no amount of anything would calm me down. Nothing would, there was no serenity. I knew my life was out of control. And a little over a year ago, I heard this little whisper come to me. It said the word serenity. And I went and I talked to a friend that's in the Liquid program. And by the end of it, I knew I had to return to Overeaters Anonymous. At that time, I was eating and, oh goodness, I have an Amber Alert. Okay, I think it's done. I have an Amber Alert. Sorry, we got, can you still hear me? Can you still hear me? Okay, sorry, we had an Amber Alert and I couldn't stop it on my phone. So, okay, thank you for that. I'm trying to remember where I was. Poor Amber Alert. I hope that whoever that is, that it gets taken care of. Oh, yes, and I returned a program and I had learned about the healthy plate model, which is my food plan. That's one of the tools I use. I use journaling. I have filled up so many of these books. I use that as a tool. I am a sponsor to about three people right now, and I do spiritual sponsoring, working through the steps. I have a sponsor that has been very patient with me and has helped me to find what I needed in this program. There's not one way to work the program. I use the Big Book. I use a few outside sources just because they're just so darn good. And occasionally a prayer or two from one of the other fellowships, just because they're just so darn good. I went to the birthday party. That was an amazing thing. I'm so grateful for Night Crew for showing me that. It's been very meaningful to me. I wanted to say, because we talk a lot about the food and what to eat and what not to eat. I like to say, what is it I need to say yes to? What is spirit saying to me? So our OA 12 and 12, and when it's talking about the second step, it says if you're religious, sometimes that's a harder thing to find the higher power. And that kind of was my case because I thought I know what spirituality is. I know what I believe. I'm well connected in that community. Not a problem for me. Have respect for everybody's community, including those that don't have a belief. I love and respect everybody today. I'm not judging today. I'm accepting wherever you are today. And yet God was saying, Ed, do you really want this? And within 1 week, I had three things. I had a tooth fallout that I was getting thousands of dollars. I was just getting an implant fixed and the tooth right next to it just fell out. This all happened within 1 week. The back of my car broke out, the seat that electronics to lift it up. and my car got trapped in the garage. All these things cost thousands of dollars, and I didn't know how I was going to pay it. And higher power found a way. Every single time I thought there was no way, higher power found a way. And I learned about emotional recovery, which is what I really support now because that's been a huge part. I couldn't do this if I was just stopping the food and did not deal with the emotions. I wouldn't be here today. I would not be alive today. If I wasn't coming to this room, I wouldn't be alive today. I really believe that. I was about dead and gone. I had issues with sleep apnea that almost killed me. I had knees. I had back pain. I had where I couldn't even walk a block. And now I've been focusing. Anyone that's been going to the meetings regularly knows I walked 7 miles last Saturday, went to a pride celebration. I work very hard to be authentic. That's very important to me now. It's more important than being what I think someone wants me to be because that's me being manipulative. And one thing I want to say also is I start my prayers with the third step prayer. Every day, I just say, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. I had the bondage of self. I was the biggest barrier to my own recovery. So relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do your will always, God. And then I really like the 10th step prayer. I pray I may continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness, to take daily spot check inventories of myself, to correct mistakes when I make them, to take responsibility for my actions, to be ever aware of my negative and self-defeating attitudes and behaviors, to keep my willingness in check, to always remember that I need your help. To keep love and tolerance of others as my code, and to continue in daily prayer how I can best serve you, my higher power. I think that's just really critical of daily just saying, it's not going to be my way, God. It's going to be your way. And the other thing I really love is the promises, because I didn't think life was ever going to be good. I really felt the official word is called, I figured it out. Someone told me the word is called resigned. I was resigned. If I can't lose the weight, if I can't get a lover, if I can't ever be happy, if I can't ever have this and this and this in my life, and if I'm just going to be fat, I'm just going to be fat. I'm just going to die. So I'm just going to eat everything. I'm going to eat until I die. And some people, my sponsor was telling me this morning, that's like suicide on the installment plan. And I was very much just kind of using food to not do that little thing in the back that says, your health is not good. I can tell you now, I can walk much further. I couldn't walk a block with coworkers a year ago. And I walked and marched for what I believed in and trying to tell other people they are worth it, that you matter. And if there's anything that any of you here today, I want you to know that you are enough, that you matter, and that it's a matter of saying, we think of all the things we say no to, but we all also got to say it's so important to say yes to God. And I said, God, it was last week. I think it was last Friday. I said, God, just take my impulses today. My impulses, I just give them to you, God. And every day I write out, I give a gratitude list. I do my two-way prayer and I list my exercise, just like how many people list the food. I list what I'm doing. Did I do strength training today? Did I move my body? And you know what? I'm feeling in the inner core right here, I'm feeling some muscles there that weren't there before. And you know, I looked at myself in a hat and I said, you know, you're kind of cute. And I said, I don't care if it's about a, I stopped caring about relationships or getting into all the sex inventory and all that craziness too, because life was unmanageable and lots of things. And today I have fun. And my God says to me today, my higher power says to me, my son, I'm so proud of you. Keep going. And I love you. And I really want the best for you. And lets me know what I would need to work on today. And higher power said, I bet you thought it was going to be awful, didn't you? But you know what? You didn't think it could be good. Because when I finally had a good feeling, it was so foreign to me. I was so used to the bad stuff and the abuse and the yelling and the harming and the healing. But one of the best things was just being able to say, it's okay if I feel all right today. It's okay that I feel good. I can just say, I accept myself. My arms are hanging, skin is hanging out, and I'm kind of happy. I wound up getting my own house. That was a miracle I could not ever do. I said to higher power, if I'm supposed to have a cat, they'll find me. And Felix did. A lot of you've met her. So anyway, that is my story. I pray that it meant something or gave you whatever you might need today in your life. So if you would all look at yourselves and just say, I am enough. That's my topic of today. Please say, I am enough. Say that to yourselves. I am enough. Give yourself some loves in your heart. And thank you so much for hearing me tonight.
Thank you so much, Ed. Let's give our speaker, Ed, a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story tonight. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we'll have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. And Ed, I've already got some questions for you lined up. How do I know when whenever I'm not spiritually fit?
If I'm resentful, if I'm full of myself, if I'm only thinking of me and not how I affect others in my actions, in my attitudes, in my tone of voice, if something is spiritually happening in my life, doors open up where there is no way. And I don't know, it's not something I could. I think I'm still have everything in control. I still think I'm God. So my point is in spirituality and program is to say, I am not God and food is not my God. I need to let my higher power be that higher power. And when I turn that over, something just happens. And it's something I don't even have words for. It's something I just want to shout from the rooftop when it's good, and I want to hide when it's bad. So if I want to hide, if I want to isolate, then I know there's a problem going on. If I'm avoiding reality, if there's something I know it's true and I'm not willing to face it, I have a spiritual problem. If I want to eat, if I'm justifying why I have to have that sugar, why should I not bother to brush my teeth? Why can't I go through the drive-thrus? Why can't I have the red light foods, the alcoholic foods? Then I have a spiritual problem that day.
Thank you. And also, can you mention some spiritual experiences, spiritual awakenings, psychic changes, or personality changes sufficient to recover from compulsive eating?
What was the last part of that? Again, I'm sorry.
Sufficient to recover from compulsive eating. I think, like, can you mention some of the spiritual experiences, spiritual awakenings, psychic change, personality changes that you've experienced?
One of them was I had a temper tantrum because higher powers, I said it's Cinco de Mayo, and I decided that I was entitled to Mexican food that day, and I just got an abstinent. I'd had about just about a week or so, about 2 weeks. And higher power said, no, not today. It's just the food I'd had enough and this and that. And I had a spiritual temper tantrum and I came home and I got into a meeting and then I just started laughing at myself at the ridiculousness of this. And higher power said, I didn't say you could never, ever have it again, just not today, Ed. And so I had to say, oh, this is what I do. I had to get real about that. And then I realized, when I rely on God, doors open up. Things happen. I had to be willing to go on a walk. And when I go on a walk, I look up and I'm part of the world. And dogs will come up to me and I can take pictures of plants and it makes me happy. And all of a sudden, I've done a mile and didn't know I could even do that. I do things I didn't know I could do because I'm willing to stretch beyond what I could do. I have to put the food down and go do something else in my life. And I had to feel my feelings and just, I have to just trust. And it's the hardest thing. When I've had everyone that was supposed to care for me harm me, I have to trust that that's higher power. When I did that inner child work, that filled a lot of that dark hole energy, that black hole energy in me. And recently I reincorporated that inner teenager, and boy, was he really important. So that's just part of what it's been, what it's looked like for me.
Thank you.
If I didn't answer the question, let me know and I can say more.
Thank you. Can you tell us about one of your favorite prayers that you use every day for difficult moments and daily challenges in life?
One day I was so obsessed over this. This goes into the love and sex inventory part of it. And I went to a gas station, and this is like many years ago. And I wound up touching my car to like the little protector at the gas station, and I knew I was in trouble. And I prayed the most honest prayer of my life. I looked up at the sky and I said, "Help!" And some days it's simply help, and some days it's the third step prayer. I often say the Serenity Prayer several times a day. If I'm trying to control others, I will use the ACA version of the Serenity Prayer, which is just, God, let me change the one person that I can change and to know that person is me, that I need to get my attitude changed. So I will often use that. And then I like to use the four today. And I like to use the Voices of Recovery from Overeaters Anonymous. They're excellent. And they have a daily excellent reading, and there's always something there for me.
Thank you. How have you gone about grieving difficult truths from your upbringing?
When I stopped the eating, all that stuff that I buried, and this took about, it was after 3 months of abstinence. I had a way, I thought I was, and nothing was wrong. So it was very confusing. All this emotion came out of nowhere. And it wasn't like, if something bad happens and I'm upset, that makes sense, right? If something good happens, I'm happy, and that makes sense, right? What if nothing wrong is happening and all of a sudden this wave of emotion comes up and it's like weeks of grieving? And that's what I had. I call it my tsunami of grief. And I thank my sponsor. She spent 3 hours on the phone with me one day. I took time off of work. I used sick time and whatever. I talked to my supervisor. I got the time off. And I basically sat here at home and I said, this is a lot less expensive than going to some outpatient center, because I just said, this is my rehab right here. I'm going to stay right here. I read this book, the big book. I filled out one of these whole journals in a week and I let it out. I said, this is my opportunity. All the hurts, all every anger, every sadness, every suicide ideation that I had had, all of it, and I gave it over to God. And to answer part of the other question, when did I know my official abstinence day was? I was going to the gym, and I was so terrified of going to the locker that I was just a nervous mess. That was something else I had to turn over, was my anxiety, and that's much, much better now, by the way. But, and I said, God, I don't even know what day to choose as my abstinence date. And higher power said, you know, when you were in there, that locker room, and you were so terrified to get in the pool, and you went in anyway and worked out and took care of your body and was good to your body, Ed, I want you to use that as your abstinence date. When you did what you didn't think you could do and did it anyway, you listened to me. That's the day you turn your life and will over to the care of your God. And that's why I use it, because I didn't know, because I'd had a month of, how do I know what day it was? I honestly didn't know. I knew that I'd been doing it for a couple of weeks, but how do I know which day it was? I didn't, I was so, it was so unmanageable. I was so powerless. I couldn't even tell you what the date was. Higher power had to tell me that. It's very humbling for a control freak. That's humbling. I'm an ice control freak, but that's still being a control freak.
Thank you. But did you have to cut carbs or go to good carbs and more protein?
I do eat carbs. I tend to eat them more in the morning. I always start every day with water, and I do fresh fruit. I do whole foods, so I don't do canned and things like that. I get it from the farmers market, so that's more exercise as well. And I actually also occasionally certain fruits and vegetables, and vegetables are also sometimes carbs, by the way. When they're especially good, I like to say thank you, Mother, for that. Thank you, Mother Nature, for that. And I like to bless all the places from that seed, the sunlight, the water, the people that harvest it, to get it all the way to my kitchen. Thank you, God, for that. So that's it's all tied together. And but I had to stop. I even got alcohol out of my house because I'm not an alcoholic. I just don't care about it. But it was all be sugar. It was sugar at the holidays. Got rid of all of it. I had to stop my caffeine too. I wasn't expecting that. And when I was on a medicine, I went to the obesity clinic. The doctor said, "You can't have that. It could cause you a heart attack." And higher power flashed in me a picture of my paternal grandfather that died when my mother was pregnant with me. And I saw him almost like an image of an ancestor. And he had died at age 60. I'm turning 58 now, so you can make the connection here. And I said something I didn't think I could say. And you have to understand, I had coffee decor all in my house. I just got my house. It was all, and I said, it was so tied to the sugar, I had to give up the caffeine too. I wasn't thinking that that was on the ticket. That wasn't on the deal, God. And you know what? I gave it all away. And I just looked up to that nurse and I said, "Okay, I didn't know I knew how to do that." And I let it go that day. Haven't had caffeine since. So I have to give up other things that are associated with the sugar. It was that insidious. It's in so many hidden foods, too. So many things. I had to learn how to read labels.
Thank you. What do you do with the impulse to be what others want you to be comes up?
When the impulse to be what others want me to be, if I'm trying to be what I think you want me to be, I'm not in alignment with myself, and I'm off. I'm trying too hard. I'm awkward. I'm not in my peaceful place. I'm not in my center. I'm not in my center. I'm not here. And I often will have to take a deep breath. I will take a moment and I will just listen. And I'll get really still. And if I'm doing something crazy, it becomes really clear very quickly. And then I may not even know what I need to do. But I know that there's a power greater than me that does know. And I fully, like Frog, I fully rely on God. I fully rely on that power, that higher power. And if I get quiet, then I can listen. If I'm overcommitted and going crazy and blah, 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 and then I have to stop all that so I can hear. I can't hear God when it's like, has he ever had like a place where there's like multiple TVs or radios or stuff or all go, and you can't hear anything, right? It's like, how do I hear the still small voice of higher power, what I'm supposed to do?
Thank you.
So I have to get quiet and listen and then act. I can't just hear it and not do anything. That does is not good for anything. I have to act and do it.
You mentioned finances changing, getting a house. How do you think the OA pro your OA program influenced that?
I think that definitely it was terrifying to learn about home ownership. It was terrifying learning about right about the time I became absent was about a year after having the house. So I think as I became more and made this more my place, I even had this place blessed by clergy from different traditions, and this feels like my fortress of solitude. It resembles my heart. So it's like as within and outer match. So I make this like a spiritual retreat. There is 12-step stuff everywhere in my house. And I had to learn how to save up for, I didn't know on my salary how I was going to afford things like homeowners taxes. and all these things. So I had to learn, and I talked to a financial advisor, and I became willing, and things started falling into place.
Thank you. And our last question for tonight, if you were meeting yourself at the start of your recovery, what instructions would you give yourself, especially regarding building a relationship with HP?
I would say you need to stop, you need to pause. What does pause mean? It means postpone action until serenity emerges. Postpone action until serenity emerges. I literally had that on a post-it note at work, looking at it 8 hours a day until I could say it without looking at the paper. I had to stop, and I have to listen.
Thank you
That's
so
what
much.
I would say. And also, I would say, Ed, I love you. And I just want to tell you, like higher power would say, I want to say, Ed, you are enough, just exactly as you are with all your faults. And you'll let go of everything that a lot of my healing has been letting go of what was added that does not belong here. Like, how do you carve a statue of David? You take everything in the stone that isn't David away. That's what my recovery looks like. Taking all the caca out that doesn't belong there. There we go.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Thank you.
Awesome.